Hey, welcome to Intentional Living. Dr. Randy here from our Intentional Living Center. This is the second part of a program. We're talking about getting on the same page in your marriage, and it made me think about, I was sitting in a board meeting in the past, and I can remember I was looking at one of the reports that we were going over as a board, and the rest of the board was looking at their book and their report, and what they were saying didn't make sense with what I was reading, and I was thinking I was misreading it or misunderstanding what was going on, and pretty soon it became apparent that we were all reading from the wrong page. And that creates a lot of dissonance and confusion. Now, we corrected it quickly and got on the same page, but you know, in marriage, that can go on day after day after day, not being on the same page in your marriage. And so we're going to continue that discussion today about what are you doing, or one thing that you're doing, or one challenge you have when it comes to getting on the same page in your marriage. While today's program is a best of and the calls are already set, we'd welcome your comments live today on our comment line when you call 888-888-1717. One thing you're doing to try to get on the same page in your marriage, and what difference is that making? All right, let's go to our first caller from Teresa, who last month hear how she relates to this topic, who called us in the past. Go right ahead, Teresa.
Hi, thank you for accepting my call, and thank you for your program. It's such an awesome ministry.
Well, thank you. We're glad to do it. Appreciate it. What's your question today?
Well, where do we begin when you're not on the same page for anything? But I feel like it's because we're not on the same page walking with Christ, our spiritual walk. My husband says he's a believer, but there's no walk. There's nothing is a walk. No going to church, no acting, no, you know. And I don't know where to begin because I feel like I'm growing bitter.
Mm. Yeah, and you know where that leads to, don't you, Teresa? The reason the scripture teaches us not to allow a root of bitterness to develop in our life is because of exactly where you are right now. And so you're wise to call and want to talk about that. We come back to this level of expectation. And I've seen this over the years where we have two people married. One is a believer and the other is not. And the believer prays for and loves the non-believer, and then the non-believer becomes a Christian, but maybe not experiencing their faith the same way or not on the same page. And all of a sudden, there's a level of expectation. We're supposed to now both be believers, and we're not the same level. And we know that whenever we have expectations for another person, especially our spouse and for our kids and people we love, whenever those expectations are not met, it creates disappointment in the relationship. So I would encourage you to, whenever you feel that bitterness coming, because my guess is it gets painful, is say, Lord, forgive me. And then pray specifically for your husband. You may have to do it 5 times a day, 10 times a day. Pray for your husband that God will move in his life, and keep the focus off of trying to change him, because at the end of the day, you know, we're not the Holy Spirit for our spouse, clearly. Okay, let's continue on here. Oh, Jennifer. Jennifer wants to respond to a caller that we had before, Viola, who called me, and God bless her. She and her husband have two different approaches to celebration. You know, she goes all out for birthdays and anniversaries, and her love language, as she said to me, was more along the line of, you know, words of affirmation and doing things, where her husband's love language is around touch, which is not unusual, by the way. And so her birthday comes and goes, and she has an expectation of a great celebration. And she said, I've told him this, and she's hurting by it, and she feels hurt by it. And we got a lot of comments that came in, including Jennifer, who's on the line in Arizona, who wants to respond to that. Jennifer, welcome to Intentional Living.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. You heard Viola when I talked to her. What do you say to her if she's listening?
Actually, I've been through the exact same situation. My husband is the exact same way, and I spent a lot of time in prayer and asking God to give me eyes to see my husband the way he sees him, because I knew in my spirit my husband loves me, as I'm sure Viola's husband loves her. And what I had to do was really readjust my expectations and be intentional about communicating with my husband in terms of, you know, what I need. And I did read The Five Love Languages. It's an excellent book, and that was very helpful. And for me, I made some adjustments in my marriage. And really, first, it was recognizing who my husband is. He brings different giftings to the marriage than I do. He's his own person. And so, much like Viola, when birthdays and Christmas and anniversaries come around, I tend to be somebody that kind of goes overboard in the celebration. My husband is the complete opposite. And I really just did kind of a check in terms of he's, I like to call it equal opportunity. He wasn't treating me differently. He's that way with his inner circle, all the people he loves deeply, mm-hmm. he's the same way. So this is just who he is as a person. And for me, it was, if I wanted to go to dinner for my birthday, I would let him know, this is where I want to go. I'd send him a link. This is the restaurant. And I'd like for you to call and make the reservation. So it was just kind of an adjustment of how I approach things, kind of scaling back. We always acknowledge each other with a nice card and maybe a small token gift. But it was me needing to make some adjustments in the relationship and yeah. not coming to the table expecting him to be just like me.
That is a really offensive to some women who are listening, thinking, I mean, he should know that, but you've come around yeah. to the fact that if you stay stuck there, then bitterness does follow.
Exactly. And so it was an intentional choice of mine not to be that person.
Right.
I didn't want to go grow bitter. I didn't want to grow resentful. And so I knew in order for me not to be that person, I needed to change. And part of that process also was me recognizing all the million little things that he does right for me that most people would take for granted. He does a lot of little things right that I appreciate. For example, he makes my coffee in the morning. My husband doesn't drink coffee, so that's just something that's for me. And so recognizing the little things that he does that are specific just for you, that are right and good, and just embracing that gift and blessing, and really just learning to appreciate him for who he
That's
is,
right.
and recognizing that I just needed to make some changes in the relationship. You've always got to pray about it. Keep God at the center of all of it. Ask God to give you eyes to see him the way you do. Ask God to change your heart about your husband so that you don't grow resentful, because then you give the enemy a foothold.
Absolutely.
And the enemy is not going to have a foothold on my marriage.
Good for you. Listen, Jennifer, what you're reminding us of is perspective. It goes back to what I said when we talked to Viola on another program, that it's so easy for us to focus on the pain point in our life. And I think I mentioned that show that very morning I had hit my toe on the door casing getting up in the morning. And it was still painful 3-4 hours later. And now I could once you start focusing on the painful little toe, it's kind of like your whole life is overtaken by the little toe. And it's easy to focus on what our husbands or what our wife is not doing that we want them to do, or an expectation that we've set, instead of focusing on the things they are doing. And one of the ways that we grow in our relationship is to make sure that we're appreciating it and being focused on the things that we're thankful for. And when those things occur, to intentionally make sure that we are showing appreciation. All right, we're going to take a quick break, be back. We've got Jody on the line with a question about, they both were using drugs. She's clean, he's not, apparently. What does she do when they're not on the same page with that, right? That's the question. And then we got a Facebook live question from Kate, what do you do when your husband isn't on board with tithing? All right, a couple questions we'll get to in a couple minutes here from Intentional Living.
Hi, yes, this is Rainbow down in Tucson, Arizona. And the next great thing I'm doing for my family at home is I no longer complain about my husband. I took a 30-day challenge to not say one negative thing about my husband. And with that, I have found nothing but joy and have found myself not complaining about anything. It has definitely made my family better, stronger, and we've never been more happy. Thank you for intentional living. Praise God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rainbow, for sharing your story with us. And, you know, doing the next right one thing is something that I've taught for many years here on Intentional Living. And I was thinking, you've heard the story and you've been praying for our son, Evan, who was really hit with a very unusual illness as a result of a common virus, and he's been seriously ill in the hospital, and he's recovering and improving, and it's going to be a while. He's got a journey, but we're walking with him. But I was commenting to my wife about, you talk about we teach intentional living, now we get a chance to live it. You know, it's easy to teach it, but then live it, to go and sit there. And I tend to be a kind of a high control person. I like to fix things and make things all better. And you can't, you know, this is an opportunity to really trust the Lord, figure out what pleases him and do the next right one thing. Sometimes it's waiting and sometimes it's praying. Sometimes it's something else. But whatever the situation is that you're facing today, join me in this message and living this message of today. What one thing can I do today? Whatever it is, I don't know what it is you're going through in your marriage, your family, your finance, but what one thing today could you do that when the day wraps up and your head hits the pillow tonight, you know that one thing drew you closer to God, gave him glory and benefit in those that you love, and including yourself in your own emotional life. And so, by the way, thank you for your prayers for Evan and our family. And if you'd like to join us, come and be a part of this message, this ministry. You can find out everything you need to know when you go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Click on donate or give us a call at 888-888-1717. If you do that during West Coast business hours, press number 2 and our staff would love to talk to you and welcome you to be a part of the family here at the Intentional Living Center. Boy, we need you right now during this very special fundraising month. The need is great and your support is valued. Thank you.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
We're talking same page marriage today. Our phone lines are open to you, 888-888-1717. Or if you've been watching us on Facebook, you can post your comments there as well today as we talk about getting on the same page. Speaking of Facebook, here's a comment from Facebook Live from Jerry. And I hear you, Jerry. Jerry says, I'm hearing all the women saying how their husbands, what they're doing, but yet not once has God's word given to them or the question asked, are you being a helpmate or a hurtmate? I'm dealing with a wife who lectures me on trust, yet turns around and does things behind my back, creating distrust, yet will never admit that she does anything wrong. Let's start with God's direction, respect first. How many times does Paul write this, and how many times does God say, wives, respect your husbands? Wives are helpers, not bullies. He states one time husbands are to give their lives for their wives. 5 times, wives, respect your husbands. Now, there's an open line for you to comment on. Maybe you have a thought on that. What I will say to you, Jerry, is there's no secret that you and your wife are not on the same page. And you're right. We tend to, when we have programs like this, we tend to get more calls from women who are addressing issues in terms of not being on the same page with their spouse. I don't know why that is. Maybe it's sensitivity, awareness, more a willingness to call. I don't know. But you're pointing out that these things do cut both ways. And that's why it's so important that we get back to what the Bible teaches. If we were just practicing what it says in Ephesians 5:21, where we are to not only respect, but it says there that we are to submit to one another out of obedience to Christ. And the whole book of Ephesians, I don't know if you've studied Ephesians much, but Ephesians is broken into, and I don't want to get into a whole message here, but just to say the book of Ephesians, where we often go, where it says, husbands, love your wives, and wives, respect and reverence your husbands. And we get into that discussion, but what we don't realize is that whole passage begins with a therefore. And so what Paul is saying is, in the first 3 chapters of Ephesians, all of these things that are true for those of us who are believers, therefore, husbands love your wives, and wives respect your husband. So I would really challenge you, if you want to take a few minutes and really study Scripture, maybe take the next month and really study Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. Here's what it says. He redeemed you. He gave you the Holy Spirit. He made you alive. He saved you by grace. He made you for good works. He adopted you. He chose you. And those are all the references that you'll find in those first three chapters of Ephesians. And then Paul says, therefore, husbands, love your wives. And the reasons we're to love our wives, guys, and why is the reason you're to respect your husband is because God said so. And what happens in our sinful world in which we live, it's really hard to do. It's really tough. Okay, let me get back to some calls here. We've got Jody is on the line in Arizona. Jody, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you.
Appreciate it. What's your question?
My husband and I have been together about 10 years, and when we got together, we were both using. Mm-hmm. And I'm clean now. I had to finally just do it on my own. We tried to get clean together so many times, I can't even count. But every time we went back, and so I finally did it myself, and he's still using. And he's been in and out of rehabs. He went to prison for a year, but the second he gets out, he's back to using again. I keep telling him I'm going to leave him. I threaten him. I kick him out. But I love him. I don't want to give up on him. I know I can't fix him, but I'm worried about my sobriety. I'm doing great now. I'm going back to school.
Good for you.
But I worry about him overdosing because he's careless.
Well, Jody, you have obvious love for your husband, and as you know, there'd be a lot of people who would say, hey, I'm just out of here, would walk, would get out of the relationship. And there are people listening who've done that, and it's understandable because you need to protect yourself, take care of yourself. You don't want to get dragged back into that lifestyle. Here's what I really just practically encourage you to do. I'm sure you have a support system. You need to be in a support system where there are those who've been through what you're going through, can share with you intentionally what their experiences have been and the steps that you need to take to make sure you're taking care of yourself. You're praying for your husband. You want the best for him. And whenever I hear calls like this, I just think about in our culture what has happened, how drugs have destroyed so many families. And unfortunately, we're seeing thousands of people whose lives are being taken as a result of drugs today, the kind of drugs that are illegal and or even prescription drugs. We know the opioid problem now with thousands of people whose lives have been taken as a result of it. I do know this, that, and you know this too, Jody, that continuing to do the same thing and expecting a different result doesn't get you there. And the fact that there needs to be points of intervention where things are brought on the table and expectations are clearly stated and there are consequences for all behavior. And so to that end, obviously, those are things you need to get some help with. You need to get some support in a very practical way with people who've been through this. And we'll be praying for you. Terrible. Pray for Jody today, okay? All right. That's right. We did have a question, didn't I? I mentioned that Kate asked a question on Facebook. What should I do with my husband who isn't on board with me on tithing? Hey, listen, I've gotten that question a lot over the years, Kate. And now I'm assuming you're both believers. Maybe not. But I've always encouraged people who have this question, two things. One is, don't ever go behind the back of your spouse to do something. You're saying, hey, I'm obeying God by tithing, but I'm going to lie to my husband or my wife. God doesn't want that. That doesn't make it right. So never be dishonest. The second thing is to be able to go to your husband and say, honey, I can hear that. Maybe you don't see the reason for it. It's not important to you. It just seems like we're taking money out of the bank to do that. It's important to me because of my faith and what God's doing in my life. And I want to do this out of obedience to him. Can you trust me enough that we go through the rest of this year? Allow me to tithe, you know, and I'll help you manage the money. Let's manage the money together and let's test God. Let's see what God will do as a result of me being obedient in tithing to see where we are at the end of the year. And if you, if at the end of the year, you don't think that's something we should continue, then I will back off on that. I would love to hear how that turns out. A couple thoughts for you. This is Intentional Living. When you're not on the same page, what do? That's what we're talking about. This lesson is not about being, you know, more saved or getting more saved. It's about going deeper in your faith and your relationship with Christ. You are as saved as you're ever going to be. You either are saved, you either have a relationship with Jesus Christ, or you don't. You're not in the middle, and you're not in works trying to get to that place. In fact, the scripture tells us it's not by works, lest any one of us should boast. It is the free gift of God. Boy, that is so true, and that's an excerpt from the lesson this month on the freedom process for your faith. I might even add it's the freedom process from your faith as well, which is true. As you live your faith, as you follow Jesus Christ, there's something that begins to happen. There's a freedom that starts to percolate in your life and comes up into every area, every decision, every relationship, everything that is important in your walk and your daily life. By the way, that excerpt from that teaching is just a piece of the entire lesson, which is our featured member-only lesson for this month. What we have is we have a site with a lot of helpful information, a lot of free resources, all our audio archives, and so on. But we have a special spot on our website as a way of saying thank you and appreciation and for me to connect directly with our members with lessons every month. And this month it's on this topic of the freedom process from and for your faith. And so it's up there. If you're a member, you have a little access code that you can put in to get you there. And if you're like me, you may have lost that. And if you let us know, we'll make sure we get it to you. You can call, talk to one of our staff or text or whatever. And for those of you joining us, because right now we're just about to enter a very special fundraising campaign where we need members to come and join us, to walk with us. Sometimes members can't continue for various reasons. And so we're inviting you to come and stand in the gap with us with your monthly support. All you have to do is call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, press number 2. Our staff will take your call and love on you and get the information and get you part of the ministry. Or feel free to go to theintentionallife.com and click on donate. You know, yesterday I talked with Jackie, part one of the show, about how she and her husband were frankly, not on the same page, especially when it came to their autistic son. We got a lot of responses that came in, including Ken. I want you to hear it. Ken, welcome to the show.
Hi, Dr. Randy. Thank you for your show.
Thank you.
You know, my heart broke, too, as I heard Jackie's testimony, but it also brought to memory a show that 60 Minutes did, and they still follow the autistic boy. A single mother had a son. She was a model. She had a son that was autistic, brain damaged, the doctors told her, and blind. The father left and didn't want to be involved. And someone had given her a gift, the baby, a gift at Christmas time, a little piano. And she soon unwrapped the gift that God gave her. You know, I want to encourage Jackie that, you know, the world says that these disabled children are discardable, but I'll tell you, it's a hidden gift that you have to unwrap and find out what it is that God has given you.
Well, I think you're pointing out again, Ken, that it's easy for us to focus on the disability of a person instead of their abilities and their strength. You get parents, though, too, and here's an 18, I think he was 18, the son with autism, and it puts so much strain and stress. But when that couple comes together and stands together and realizes that they can set some goals together to help their son become all that he potentially can become in life, instead of focusing on what isn't right, to focus on what is. It's a good reminder. All right. Ken, I appreciate your call today and reminding us that every life is worth living, every every creation of God has a meaning and a purpose, and yes, we need to continue to stay focused on that. So I'm glad you're listening today, my friend.
Thank you for the show, Dr. Randy.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for taking my call. All right.
You're welcome, and we'll be here for you. By the way, I just want to say on behalf of those of you who do support the ministry, when you hear the stories, and we get lots of them that come, and they're left on our comment line, or we get them online or whatever, people saying, thank you for the show. We got many on Facebook today. That's why we're here. And it's because of your support that stories like this one is possible. Did mom agree with you on holding them to task on this?
Well, it was tough for her because you got to realize these are her biological children.
Yeah, so you were the one saying, hey, you can come back, but only on these terms.
Yes, only on certain conditions. You know, I'll give you grace where I believe the Lord is at, some boundaries, but at a certain time period, when that grace is over, you know, you're going to have to leave, and we'll just hope that the Lord will provide it.
And you and mom were on the same page. I mean, you ended up on the same page.
It took a while, but I mean, eventually we did. Her heart turned before the Lord and realized that this is the man that I'm married to, and your children are going to be gone. And when you go, my husband and I am going to remain as one. So it was tough, but it was very beneficial, and it had me to grow up, you know, really had me to face responsibility as a man.
Wow, that'll evoke some emotion and thoughts and feedback, won't it? You know, it's interesting when it comes to this thing of blending families. We're talking about marriage, getting on the same page in a blended family. We always have taught and believe that when the primary parent, the main parent, the parent that brought the child into the relationship, needs to stand up and take the lead. And the parent that's coming along and joining the family needs to be there to support and encourage. And as much as possible, boy, you want to have a great blended family. You and your spouse get behind closed doors and come to an agreement, pray about it, realize that the goal is for the benefit of the child, and it's a give and take process, because I've seen too many families fall apart when that isn't done, and that certainly isn't something we want for any of you today. As we're talking about getting on the same page, you know, if you want to have a great marriage, what you've heard today and yesterday is really the focus of the whole thing. I mean, you got to come to an agreement. The Bible says, how can two walk together unless they be in agreement? That's an important thing, and that's why we're talking about that here at Intentional Living. Hey, we've got to wrap up the show. I'll be back again tomorrow. I want you to know that Intentional Living is 100% listener supported. It's because of your prayers and support that we can do this. Thank you for your prayers for my wife, Donna, and I, and our team, and of course for our son right now who's recovering, and his family as well. And we'll see you next time from Intentional Living, which is a ministry of our Intentional Life Media, which is committed to helping people experience God's intentional love.